started this morning. You know, Russ told everybody last week that I was going to do Sunday school, so I said we probably won't have no more than about six people here today. And God's got a nice sense of humor, don't he? But it's all good. It's all good. I'm glad to see each and every one. And welcome to our visitors that's with us this morning. And let's start with... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me introduce you. It's Carmen Jones, right? And this is the Edge Hill family. So we're glad to have you here. And you're only a visitor once. You know, hopefully, you may have already been here before. I don't know. I may not have been here when you were here. Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Oh, Lord, we come before you this morning so very thankful that you have blessed us to see yet another day, giving us health and strength, allowing us to come out and study a portion of your word. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds, that what will be discussed this morning and in our lesson today, we'll be able to use to help us to be better Christians in our everyday walk. Help us to spread your word to those who don't know you. Help us to be a better example as we live each day in this world. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings that you bestow upon us. We pray that you will bless those that may be yet still on the way and those that could not be with us at this time. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Okay. This morning, as you all know, we use it, or at least I use it, try to... I don't consider myself as a class teacher. I just the guy that stands up front to try to get y'all to talk. So, but feel free to participate and jump in with comments or whatever at any time. And what I want to talk about today is our faith. And we're going to reference that to Caleb in the Bible, speaking of the 12 men that went to spy out Canaan. Caleb was one of those that we used to sing in the vacation Bible school. 10 were bad and 2 were good. So, first of all, you know, faith is the foundation of our Christian living. If you don't have faith, then you can't really call yourself a Christian. And to have faith means to be willing to take God at his word and to act upon his word and to trust always in his promises. Now, as Russ has put out in his book, do you trust God and not so much as trust in God, or do you believe God not so much as believing in God? A lot of people believe in God. We need to believe God for what he says and trust in his word. If we do that, then it will be seen in our everyday walk and the way we carry ourselves, the things that we do, our actions. And as I said, we're going to reference this lesson to Caleb in one of the 12 men that went to spy out Canaan. Now, in Caleb's life, he exhibited his trust in God, because he was one of the two that stood up for what God had said, that the land was theirs. All they had to do was go in and possess it. But the other 10 went out with him, investigated the land, and they said that, oh no, it's a whole lot of reasons. They gave a lot of reasons why they couldn't possess it. They didn't really believe God. They trust in God. They trust in him, but they didn't believe him. We can see that they trusted in him. The Israelite children trusted in him because they had already seen what God had did for them, bringing them out of bondage in Egypt. Coming out, going through, or walking through, him opening up the Red Sea for them to pass through, God stopping the Egyptians from coming to pursue them. They had witnessed all that. But how quickly we forget, how quickly they forgot when they got to the land. They didn't believe that God said, this is yours. Go in and take possession. Man, it's a funny thing. We can look in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Now, we see, it states also in Numbers. Numbers come first, but it states in Numbers that God told Moses to send the 12 men in. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it tells us that it was the people's idea to send the men in to investigate the land. Why? Because they didn't believe God was going to give them that land. And afterward, that they came to Moses, then Moses went to God and God showed him how to pick the 12 and what was the best way to go into the land. And that's found in Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. And Moses was telling them in Deuteronomy that each one of those people, the Israelites, the leaders, came to him and was telling him that we need to go send people to spy out the land first. Now, it's times when we as a people, just people in general, we believe God, we trust in God, we see what God do for us every day, we get up. But when we are faced with opposition, especially when it's something that we can't seem to come up with a solution to at the time, and along with the devil constantly working on us 24/7, it throws up a fog to try to confuse us, and it wavers our faith. It's like taking a sheet, if you will, and hanging it up. The sheet will drop down straight and just hang there. That's like our faith. But if you stand to the side or in front and blow on it hard enough or spit a fan, that sheet is going to waver. It's still there. The sheet is still there. But it's going to waver. It's not going to just hang there. And that's what happens to us. If the devil feels that if he continues to throw obstacles in our way, blow on us hard enough, give us big enough problems to tell us, continuously telling us, you can't do this, you can't succeed in this, you can't accomplish this, that eventually our faith, which is that sheep, is going to fall. If it falls, then the devil has won. Our faith is gone. But as long as that sheep is there, which is our faith, we're still believing in God, and God is going to carry us through. But what we want to do is to make that sheep stay there and withstand anything that comes against it. And that's probably not a good analogy, but that was the first thing I could come up with out of my mind. The Egyptians were pursuing the Israelite people, and with all the pressure that they were putting on them, coming to them, even after they saw what God had brought them through, their faith was weakened to the point where they had to have some type of proof that this land is still ours and we'll be able to get it. So therefore, they come up with the idea to let's send some spies and some men to investigate and tell us the best way to go in. Now, if their faith was strong, they didn't need to have any spies. They wouldn't need nothing because, think of it, the Lord had brought them all the way from Egypt to Mount Sinai through all kinds of perils. I think the Bible says it's called it. It's the description they use is that it's a wilderness, but they call it a terrible wilderness. He brings them through all this terrible wilderness, which all kinds of catastrophes happen. They didn't have anything to eat. He gave them manna. He made water come from a rock. They saw all this. He brought them all this far. Now you get to this land where he says, this is going to be yours. What more proof do you need? But, like I said, with the devil's constant pressing and hammering us, it makes our faith waver. And that's what he did here. And one other point I wanted to bring out is the fact that even though we believe in God and trust in God, we, not to elevate him, but we don't consider the power that the devil has. The devil works as we know the Bible says he attacks us 24/7, every day. He's going to attack us at our weakest time. Most of the time, you're not even going to realize you are in the throes of getting caught up until you are caught up. And then you think, oh, Lord. First thing you say, oh, Lord. Lord, help. You're ready to pray. But when you're having small obstacles or things you think you can handle, you don't consider that this is an act of the devil. You don't consider, I need to pray to God to help me over this little, oh, I got this. You know, that's what you say, oh, I got this, I can handle this. But when it gets to the point where, what am I gonna do now? Now we're ready to pray. You know, which is a human trait. So I'm not condemning nobody, I'm just trying to emphasize how the devil is already upon us when we realize we're in the fight, you know. But this is the case of what happened with the Israelite people. Now, getting back to Caleb, Caleb's faith never wavered. He believed in God because God said that this land is yours. When he went and saw everything, he came back and still told people, we can do this. All we got to do is trust in God. Now, he didn't tell the people, all we got to do is send 30 men this way, 40 men this way, and the rest of us go charging up to here. He didn't come with a strategy. He didn't tell them that we need to wait till nighttime to attack. He didn't tell them that. All he said was, trust in God, because God is for us, who can be against us? One of the things that's difficult for us to grasp is at the time, like I said, when we realize that that we're in a fight, and when I say in a fight, I mean we are backed up against the wall, so to speak. You know, we did all we thought we could do to solve the problem. And in some cases, it's not a problem that we can handle, especially if it's like an illness or a situation where we have no control over. For example, we lose a job, or you come home and your house is burnt down. And you feel things, what am I going to do? When you get to that point that you question yourself, what am I going to do next? That's when you realize you're in a fight. That's when you're back up against the wall. And that's when you're ready to say, oh, I'm going to call on the Lord now because I can't handle this. But beforehand, when everything is going good, we have to keep in mind that we need to call on the Lord every day we live, give God thanks for everything that we have, and continue to look to the Lord to continuously bless us. Now, every day is not going to be a good day, as we say. I would consider a good day when you wake up in the morning and it's like about 65, 70 degrees, and you go outside, the birds are chirping, the sun is shining. You're on your way to work, you turn the key, the car starts right up, you get on the highway, there's not much traffic, you get to work, everybody you see, you speak to them, how you doing? You know, that's a good day. Typical bad day, as some people look at it, you wake up, it's raining. It could be a little chilly. You go out to go to work, your car got a flat tire. You say, Lord, why this got to happen now? You go to change your tire, you bust a knuckle. You're on your way to work, car zipping and zapping in front of you. you got to watch like a duck to try to make sure nobody run into you. And you get to work, you speak to people, you, good morning. Nobody says nothing. Good morning. People pass by, you ain't paying no mind. You want to pull your hair out, you know, typical bad day. Maybe not. Again, that's my analogy. I'm not all that good with analogies, but anyhow, trying to paint a picture that a good day is a day that we like, that we wish could happen all the time. A bad day is a day that we don't particularly care for, and we wish we could change it. But God is still there. Mm-hmm. Every day. The devil is still there. Every day. The difference is, the devil has a whole bunch of obstacles that he's throwing them in front of you. Oh, you coming. God is right there with the broom, trying to sweep them out the way for you, so that you can continue to, on your way without getting tripped up over those obstacles. If we remember to praise God, keep our faith in Him, to rely on His Word, it will help us get through the day. It may not make it that much better, because something is going to happen anyway, but it will help us to get through the day. And before you know it, we finish that day, we enter another. And then you think, these days seem to be the same. But the difference is, you have accomplished a week, a month, a year. Have you ever told yourself, man, this year is going by fast? And, well, before you know it, it's the month is gone. Or it's time for you to pay another bill. You say, man, didn't I just pay this bill? Mm-hmm. How fast time flies. Because God's been blessing you and things are kind of going smooth. When we have a hard time, when things are not going our way, that's when it seems to take forever to go up a hill, go down a hill, go around this curve, or whatever. As I said, Caleb's faith never wavered. And he believed in God, and he tried to persuade the people to tell them that all we need to do is trust in God, and He's going to take care of everything for us. And as he said, which is found in Numbers 14, verses 8 and 9, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land. The Lord is with us, fear them not. Sometimes it's hard not to see what is actually happening to you when it's happening to you. One example, I remember some time ago, it wasn't that far ago, we wouldn't have been able to have Sunday school lesson back here because there'd been too many people. We'd have been spread it out. Even more recently, we wouldn't have been able to be this close because of the fear of pandemic. Well, the pandemic's still going on. We're not all packed like sardines, but we're more closely sitting together, seated together. God is still blessing us. Now, we've had some people from our congregation that have been threatened with the COVID virus. Even me and my wife ourselves had gone into quarantine once because not so much of the fact that we were fearful of getting it, but because we came in contact with somebody we thought had it, and we wanted to be safe and wanted to protect everybody else, which is a good thing. The point I'm trying to get to is we've had a lot of people that close themselves in, not come to worship because of pandemic. It's also a good thing because you want to make sure you protect yourself as well as anybody else. But how many places have you went to since the pandemic that you considered the fact that you had to go to work, to the store, to the doctor, any other number of places you had to go, you feel like you had to go. The pandemic was still just as active. But when it comes down to coming to church, I can't go because I don't want to. I don't want to infect nobody. I don't want them to infect me. As I said, it's a good thing. People, and I'm sure you know of some that have got up every day, went to work, disregarding it, just not talking about the pandemic, man. Just get up every day, go to work, never miss a day from work. But when Sunday comes, they don't go to church. Why? Oh, man, I worked hard all week. This is my day of rest. I deserve this. God rested on the seventh day itself. We can always find an excuse to suit us when we want it to suit us, you know, and can bring God in it when it works for us. But what about what God said and it don't work for us? We're lost for words then. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to show the fact that if we trust in God, we believe His word, how would it affect us? As Russ said in his book, would your life change? Would people be able to see that in your everyday walk? Using the example that I picked for today in Caleb, do you think the Israelite people saw it in his everyday walk? Do you think they saw his faith when he got up in front of them and told them, we need to trust in God. God gave us this land. We can go in and possess it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, if we trust in God in everything, like I said, it doesn't mean that we're going to be walking on a bed of roses and everything going to just fall in place for us every day, and we're not going to have no problems. You know, you can picture yourself walking down the street, maybe about this half on the ground, you know. Wouldn't that be nice, though? You know, if things just blossom for you, just open up everywhere you go. People would see it then. They'd be like, what has he got with him? Every time he walks in the room, the doors open up before he even get there. He go to sit in and the chair just slide up to him. You know, people see that. He goes to the water fountain, the water just shoot up before he could even drink. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? Awesome. People would notice us then. And all you had to do, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go, yeah, well, I want to be a Christian too. I want the same thing you have. But we have to be like Christ. People did not know who Christ was when he went places, unless other than the crowds being around him. When he was with the 12, they didn't know which one he was. You know, Judas had to go up and kiss him on the cheek for the soldiers to know which one to grab. And I'm not saying it because I had a brother-in-law that I admire. But I would like to live a life where people could see that I'm different by the way I carry myself. But not so much as when I walk in the room, everybody, hey, Brother McLaughlin, don't bow down to me. No, no, I don't need that. But they can see that, oh, this, somebody said, man, that's a nice guy there. He'll give you the shirt off his back. You ask him for help, and he's ready to volunteer to help you. Anything that you need that he can help you with, as far as you come to him, say, I need somebody to help me do something, he's the first one to volunteer. People can tell good people from bad people, maybe by their language. You know, you can definitely tell some people that, you can tell people they have a foul mouth, right? Because they don't cut it for nothing. You know, they don't care who around or what, they come right out with it. You can tell people they have good intentions because they're always trying to do something good. what people see, what you betray, is what your habitat, so to speak, is your reputation. And you don't have to say anything. Other people would be speaking for you. You know, they would tell folks, oh, that guy, he's all right, you know. Not, oh, that guy, he comes, you better hide your pocketbook. He's coming in, don't let him get too close to you. You know. You don't want a reputation like that, you know. But this is what we have to do to betray ourselves. And if we trust in God, he will carry us through the rough times so that we can have a reputation of being his. Not so much a reputation of, oh, man, that guy, he got money. Oh, that guy, man, every time I see him, he dressed to the nines. Oh, that guy, every time I be around him, he smells so nice. You know, not that kind of reputation, but a reputation where, oh, yeah, that guy, man, he believes in God. You know, you want to know anything about the Bible? Ask him. When they have a problem, they come to you. I know you go to church. I want you to, can you pray for my this and pray for my that? You know, how you know I go to church? Oh, I can tell. I know you go. That kind of reputation. The question is, are you failing the test or are you passive? Now, God tested the Israelites by, after he sent the 12 and let them come back and give them the report, he tested them to see what they believe. He's testing us every day. We have obstacles that's challenging us each day we live, and he's testing us to see where our faith lies. Do we have our faith in God? We have our faith in ourselves? Do you have your faith in other people? Now, I turn on the radio, the TV, every day, and I look at the weatherman, and I listen to what he says. My faith is not in him, it's in God. Mm-hmm. But God had to bless him to give him some idea as to what to expect or what could possibly happen. So if he says, it's going to be 30 degrees today and I got to go out, then I'm going to put on a coat. That's common sense. If he says, it's going to be 30 degrees today, he don't know what he's talking about. I trust in God. I'm going to believe in God. And I'm going to go out there in a T-shirt. Something is wrong with that picture. God uses people to bless other people. He's going to use us, me and each one of you, to bless people that we come in contact with, and likewise other people come in contact with. Now, We have to allow him to be able to do that. And we have to have faith in him that he will do that. If we do that, we'll make it through life. And we'll be able to get the promise that God has placed before us, that to all that is faithful, we will get a crown of life. I mean, a crown, I got it in here, wait a minute. God has promised the faithful a crown of, yes, a crown of life. We can find that in 2 Timothy 4 and 8, James chapter 1, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We can trust in God because God is faithful, and if he is faithful, then he's going to keep his word, whereas we can't put trust in man because man may change his mind from time to time. Under certain pressures, under certain circumstances, I know what I said, but, and we already said it anyway, I know what God says, but there is no but. If God said it, it's up to us to accept it. Because God's word is not going to change. Whether you accept it or not, his word is not going to change. So what I try to do is to try to spark a point of recognition with you to get you to remember that in times of troubles, rough times, the pandemic, who knows what's coming after the pandemic? In times of situation where we can't control it, all we got left is God. Man, God hears us repenting and asking for forgiveness. That if he has already told us we need to do a certain thing, and we refuse to do it, then whose fault is it? It's not God. Yes.
Wes, the first thing I used to ask myself, and I think the first thing most people ask is, I want faith, and how do I get faith? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I want faith. I want to really trust in God, so, but how do I get it? First of all, you've got to acknowledge that God wants you to have faith, mm-hmm. just like he wants you to have wisdom. But we have to do some things on our part. Mm-hmm. Nobody's just going to be zapped with the gift of faith. We've got to acknowledge when we go to God and pray, and all of us have, pleading for this and pleading for that and begging for this and wanting that. Mm-hmm. And most times we can look back and see where God has blessed us and given those things that we needed to survive and get through. Even in those times where we weren't given those things, we can look back and say, I'm glad he didn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would have been in deeper trouble than I am now.
That's right.
But we've got to remember that when we ask for these things for God and he answers prayers, whether it takes him instantly or it takes him a while, that he's blessed us to that point and that we owe him a thanks for that.
Yes.
We ask for everything and give thanks for nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It just passes us by. We go on to the next day and say, what I need now? You know, what am I going to ask for now? Mm-hmm. We've got to acknowledge that he's active in our life every day. Mm-hmm. He blesses us in some way every day.
Yes, he does.
And if we do that, then that builds our faith up, just like it builds our confidence up when we're successful doing things. Mm-hmm. That builds our faith up in him that he's there.
Yeah.
And just because I didn't hear from him today on this particular matter, he's there.
Yes, he is.
It's his choice not to answer it right then and there. You know, it's probably a blessing to me that he doesn't answer it then and there.
Yeah.
But we forget that. We forget God. We want everything from him, and we acknowledge just a few things from him. And that'll build your faith up. And God wants you to pray for it.
Yes.
Just like he wants you to pray for wisdom. Mm-hmm. He wants you to pray for faith. And he'll help you acknowledge those things and build that character, or build those blocks that we need to have faith in him on a daily basis.
That's very good, very true. Sometimes that answer that he gives us, we don't want to accept it. If he says no, we don't want to take that no answer. God didn't answer my prayer. He said he answered. You didn't hear the answer you wanted to hear. Yes, Kathy.
Right along with that, I think, and when I was looking over this, I'm glad you brought up Caleb, because we always give Joshua, seems like, all the credit in this story. Mm-hmm. But as I looked on the verse, it says, here's something that we also need to do along with what he was saying. It was saying in 24, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land we went to wholeheartedly. See, mm-hmm. that's another key to our faith. We don't just believe him for a minute and then go back to our old ways the next. We've got to remember him always in what we do, like you said, wholeheartedly. Caleb pulled through. And because of that, he and Jacob were the only two that could go into the land that God left them there for. They didn't have to lift a finger. And no, there's always the doubting ones.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Speaking of the doubting ones, we coined that phrase, doubting Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you consider that Thomas being one of the chosen, lived with the other apostles, witnessed with the other apostles everything the Lord had done.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just imagine the conversations that the apostles would have during their walk, not only with what is written, but also when they would get together as men and try to comprehend or talk about the day's events. Did you see what the Lord did? Did you see that outcome? Did you see his answer? Yeah, they would, I'm sure, just has a deep conversation. So they develop a relationship amongst themselves,
mm-hmm.
as anyone would when you're at work, or you know. And so you develop relationships over time.
Right.
Well, these men obviously had great opportunity to develop that relationship, and so you would think that there'd be a measure of trust there.
Mm-hmm.
But when the disciples told Thomas, we've seen the Lord, he's risen, he's alive. Most people, I think, would have just said, let's see him. I'm anxious to see him. But no, we hear, and his response was, until I touch him,
uh-huh.
put my hands to his side, I won't believe him.
Mm-hmm.
I won't believe him. And so, again, we know how the story comes. The Lord himself said, Thomas, put your hand here. Touch my hands.
And blessed are those who believe and have not seen.
Yes.
And that's us today.
That's where the faith comes in.
Yeah.
See, and that's and again for us, I like to think that when our eyes open and we realize where we are and come to understand that we are part of the creation that God spoke in the very beginning. That is our witness right there. That's part of the witness that we do belong, that he is still here,
mm-hmm.
and he is who he is.
Yeah. We have to, as you say, keep our eyes open and know when he speaks to us, because he's going to speak to us through somebody else,
mm-hmm.
not so much as in days of old when he came to people that they were considering a dream, or someone was wide awake, but yet still their mind was, they wasn't conscious of what was happening. But we have to be, as you said, vigilant, keep our eyes open and be searching and looking for the answer, whether we want to hear the answer or not. We have to be searching for it, not just, oh, I'm just going to wait. You know, he's going to just drop it in my lap. I leave you with this. I've heard it. You probably heard it, different versions, different ways. There was a lady that she was warned that the floods was coming. And they told her, come on, you got to go, the flood's coming. No, I'm going to wait on the Lord. The Lord's going to deliver me. And flood started, the water started rising. And they came in a boat and told her, come on, you got to go, the water's rising, and you want to save me. No, I'm going to wait on the Lord, he's going to deliver me. And the water rose as she was on the roof. And they came with a helicopter. They told her, come on, come on, we're going to save you. No, I'm going to wait on the Lord. He's going to deliver me. And as the story goes, she died. And when she got to heaven, she asked the Lord, Lord, I waited on you. I was waiting for you to deliver me. Why didn't you save me? And the Lord said, I sent you warning. I sent you a boat. And I sent you a helicopter. What more could I do? If, like you said, we're not looking, we don't want to hear the answer, we're lost. Where's our faith? If the Lord is going to send help, we have to keep our eyes open and be ready to respond. That's my lesson for today. I hope you all can get something out of it.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
That'll be it. Thank you. Couldn't have did it without you all. Here's one.